All right, good evening, everybody. First of all, have we any apologies? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Henry.
Okay, so I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting today. Can everybody hear me? Hear me? Okay. Yeah, okay. Everybody in the back hear me?
Yeah.
All right, well. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure that their mobile phones are either turned off or switched on silent. The use of mobile phone devices for recording is not permitted. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio recorded except where the committee is considering extensive matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I remind members of the committee that their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. I would also like to pass on my condolences to Councillor Tinley on the sudden death of his cousin. Okay, so any declarations of conflict of interest?
None, Chair.
None? Okay. So if we just take a look at action sheet.
Apologies and catch yourselves.
Okay, no problem. So if we just have a wee quick look at the action sheet there, and we'll go through it page by page. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Okay, can I have a proposer and seconder?
Just a proposal.
Oh, yeah.
And page 4, the action sheet will let the inquiry about any update on the report, and there's any chance of a statement of content machine if you use David's old file and pop pass. Just wonder how we're getting on there.
The business cases were completed last month, so we will be commencing the procurement, and that's something we'll be looking at as part of our today.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you.
Was there somebody else hand up then? No. Okay, so proposer and seconder? Okay, so we have a presentation.
Chair, is any matter raised in it, is it? Chair, the last page on it's about the recycling centres. And if I could just get someone to clarify, was there a direction given that the cost for then recycling centre doesn't take mattresses anymore? Can anyone confirm that? That's what the loafers have been told there, that as from Christmas they don't take mattresses anymore. I know that there's a constant problem in Cross Midlain. We have one bin for that takes the mattresses, stuff that's in stock that down, and it's a constant full. And there seems to be a problem with the council emptying it. Whenever the people are up there ring in, the council can't empty it. There's always something wrong with the lorry when it comes to recycling centre in Cross Midlain. I know at the weekend they turned away several people with stuff within that, but today I asked the council to go out to lift the mattress for a bed out of Craigan River. Now this took, because the mattress got wet, this took four council people to go out to the river with a lorry, to come out from Uri to lift this. And that is because they are saying from a 30-second centre, as on Christmas that we don't take mattress anymore. We have out on Lockerbie Road, I also put through some today to go out to lift the suite of furniture that was dumped there. Now, we're either serious about recycling or not. There's constantly problems in the Cross Midlain site. The lads that work there say they just won't empty the bins for them. And I want to find out, did something change in the policy that I missed that we now don't take mattresses in Cross Midlain?
Can we just pause 3 seconds? We've got some problems with the microphones on set. No mind quite as well. Can't Kevin was well intended and not wrapping it all.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hardy, I'm not aware of any change in policy or direction from staff by looking at this matter. Back to the director.
Hi, Chair. I appreciate it's a very urgent issue for the area. As I say, we have this bay at the dump, but we still have to deal with the fact that people is being turned away constantly from the recycling centre with sofas and all of that. And there's people maybe go to lobby someone with a car and a trailer or that to go to the recycling centre across the land. Constantly that whole, we want to come on here because their bin is full. And we can't run a business with that, and we can't be serious about recycling that. So the cost of getting up now this weekend will travel over cost to put in the bin. We have a centre there that costs an awful lot of money, costs nearly £1 million. And we're turning people away, and the stuff's being dumped in the countryside, we're going out to look at that. We're supposed to be very serious about tourism. Tourism is supposed to be the top priority in this council. And we have sofas and mattresses dumping out in the countryside, the very area that we're trying to make tourism into. And this has to be done, but this just can't be brushed off and say, well, but I'm saying to people, I want to say to people, I think all this council, I want to say to people that I represent, to take the stuff to the recycling centre and leave it there. There's a covered area there, a shed area there. If the bin's full, I'm going to direct them, and I'm going to do it publicly in the paper, and I'm going to tell them to leave it there. Because I don't want this rubbish through around the countryside, and the countryside is dry. So I'm doing that publicly. So this council wants to be serious. Stop taking the boxes on recycling and be serious about it, and empty the skip, and put the proper facilities into the area.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on then, anything from anybody else? We're okay. Presentation then from the NIES.
Yes, good evening folks. My name is Mark Cherry from the Northern Ireland Environment Agency. I'm currently head of the agency's enforcement branch. Colleague here, Ian Walker, is one of my supporting colleagues. I had been asked to come along today, tonight just to give a quick overview of the work of the enforcement branch within the agency and some of the issues that we have to deal with and how we deal with them, how we approach those issues. So I have a very short presentation here of about 10 minutes, maybe 6 slides, and hopefully give you a good overview of what we do, and after that I'm quite happy to take some questions. As far as our structure, you see up on the screen there, the enforcement branch basically comprises of 4 separate sections within the agency. First section here you'll see is the volume crime section, which deals with the lower risk, small scale, less serious issues that are reported to the agency. The next section there is the environmental crime section, and that section looks after the more serious, larger scale and organised criminality within the waste industry. The third section along there is our financial investigation section, who take forward investigations under the Proceeds of the Crime Act. Really the large scale organised criminality that occurs in this country is done for the financial benefit, and our financial investigation sections will pursue those criminals for any benefit they have gained through their criminality, through proceeds of crime, and also we'll spend a little further later on with the application. The last section there is the assessment section. Sorry, that presentation is actually a separate revised presentation there. Yesterday, so that slide is actually wrong.
Okay.
There's another section called the assessment section, which only consists of 3 people, but it's a very important section within the branch. And that section looks after all our information and intelligence that comes in to the agency from within other agency departments and across the public services. And the last section we have is, of course, all about the small business support section that you'll see on the presentation that you have there. What's the field here trying within Northern Ireland? Well, what I've tried to do is take our figures of reported incidents for the calendar year 2019, and they're on the screen there. We received a total of 878 reports of, I'll put this in brackets, environmental crime, but primarily waste crime, within the 11 council areas. Up on that screen is the breakdown of those receipts. You'll see that the sort of top 5 issues for us are mixed waste, And what we mean by mixed waste, it covers a range of waste materials, which includes storage, stone, household, commercial waste, some trommel fines, plastics. It's a broad scope of waste there. The second biggest issue is the burning of waste materials, whether it be residential premises, commercial premises. The third one is C&D, which is short for construction and demolition waste. That comes from the building trade. The fourth one on the list is tires. We do have an issue with tires. It's fourth on the list. 8% of the incidents reported across the 11 councils concern disposal of tires illegally. Joint that there is infilling illegally of grounds. ELD, which stands for end of life vehicles, which is really scrap yards. So that's the sort of breakdown of the sort of waste types we deal with on the top five there. 878 incidents, they're not all large scale incidents, a lot of those incidents are very small, and low risk issues. Maybe a few for that. The volume crime section, which is headed by Ian here, dealt with 78% of those incidents last year, which is 681 incidents, so the most of those incidents are very small scale low risk incidents. 10% of the incidents, 90, are considered large scale organised criminality, and that's dealt with our environmental crime section. And the remaining 12% of those incidents are referred to other bodies within the MIA, within the department, and also back to the local councils for local councils to deal with. If you're interested, I'll step away to work the figures for the remaining day, if you can. For last year, the same calendar year, 178 incidents in total. Again, there's a breakdown by waste type. The top five are listed there in the box to the side. The mixed waste disposal issues in this council area, 34%, is sort of in line with the regional average. However, next on the list, we have a specific issue in this council area with fuel laundered waste, which we are all aware of that. Most of our incidents on fuel laundered come from this council area. Burning and infilling around the same as the regional average, and so is C&D. Your tire incidents there, I think you've had 8 for last year, which is around 5% of the regional figure. What is our approach to environmental crime? We have a very small resource in the agency. We have a total of around 35 staff across those 5 business areas that I had shown you on the screen earlier. It's an intelligence-led approach, so we ensure we make best use of our limited resources. And what I mean by intelligence-led is that we take all of that information across all of those 878 incidents and feed in other data and intelligence from a number of other agencies, police forces, and members of the public, and we do a bi-annual waste crime threat assessment, which gives us some sort of idea where the key issues are, not only currently, but maybe coming up in the near future, and we look at future trends, world market prices for cardboard, plastics, the issue of bracket, and how that may affect cross-border waste crime as well. So that gives us some sort of direction. And that biannual waste crime threat assessment is supported by a bi-monthly tactical assessment on a control strategy, which is reviewed on a monthly basis. In terms of preventative measures, it's probably best to prevent the issue happening in the first place. So preventative measures are a key part of what we take forward in terms of addressing environmental crime. An example of a preventative measure, first of all, is the easy one, media awareness, public awareness, getting the message out there through Twitter, Facebook, and other types of media like radio and TV. We have, in particular, in regards to the tire issue in Northern Ireland, we have, over the past 2 years, really ramped up our inspection of tire retailers. Over the past 3 years, it's increased from around 60 visits a year until, I think, last year they carried 157 tire retailer visits. Checking up on compliance of those tire retailers with their duty of care responsibilities and recording where their waste tires are disposed of. That seems to have paid some dividend this year. We have had some report for some of the major tire reprocessors that they have had an increase in requests around lawful tire disposal at their facility. So it appears at the moment to be sort of moving in the right direction. Beyond preventative strategies, we have partnership logging. And I have another slide which will leave, it's the next one in fact, which will cover partnership with non-staff issue. It's key component of how we work. But the last stage of the process is enforcement. We will pursue criminal prosecution against those who commit waste crime, small scale, medium scale and large scale. Our first protocol we try and go through to pay. Those persons who are responsible for the waste crime should be held accountable for it, and they should burden the cost of cleanup. And we do pursue the Computer Test Council through the voluntary agreements for the offender, statutory notices that can be issued to direct cleanup. Failing that, we will seek cost recovery through several means. Proceed to crime, as I had mentioned earlier, very important part of our approach here. The larger scale, serious and organised criminality, the benefit comes from the avoidance of landfill tax primarily. Landfill tax comes at around £86 per tonne, and when you are in the price of £15 in VAT, it can cost about £120 per tonne of disposal waste. So if you can avoid paying that disposal cost by dumping your waste up the countryside somewhere, then you can make significant money. Picking on a 20 tonne lorry, you're starting to put around £2,500 per road. So the benefits from that sort of criminal activity can really rack up. Our view on that is that we should try and focus on those particular criminals and remove those proceeds or those benefits from those criminals, and we use the Proceeds of Crime Act. Our Penalty Investigations team have taken cases through the court and successfully secured in the region of £3.2 million worth of confiscation orders through the court since 2008. That was deemed to be the criminal benefit available to those offenders. The NIA directly the benefit by 22.5%. Those awards, 22.5% of that figure comes into our budget, which helps us again address waste crime as we help resource our activities. Partnership working, I had mentioned, a very important part of what we do. Some of the people that we work with are up on their logos are up on the board here. Certainly, Perth Protocol Plus is PFNI, Northern Ireland, who give us great support, operational assistance with enforcement of warrants. They carry out arrests on our behalf. They detain offenders, and we have use of their custody suites when interviewing offenders under caution. And they assist us with search and seize operations, and they're a great source of exchange of information, particularly in the most serious and organized criminal cases. HMRC, another key player in terms of our partnership working, and just last year we signed an MOU with the HMRC, and we exchanged information in relation to the avoidance of environmental taxes, primarily the harmful tax. HMRC had legislation passed on the 1st of April last year, which enabled them to pursue harmful tax for illegal waste sites, so they're very interested in the legal waste sites in Northern Ireland and the avoidance of tax through that means. DVLA, again, the waste doesn't get dumped without being moved, and it takes transport to move waste from A to B. Therefore, vehicles, registration, owners, details are all very important to us, and we have information sharing against the DVLA. We also carry out a program of vehicle checkpoints throughout the course of the year, checking on waste movements throughout Northern Ireland. We are a member of the Organised Crime Task Force, which includes PSNI, HMRC, MCA, Immigration and Borders Forces. We share information and data related to all types of organised crime, but obviously from the environment side of which we're interested in waste crime. We get a great benefit from that, and obviously OCT have published another report that's available online, and I'll give you a bit more background on what comes from that sort of work. We engage heavily with the other agencies, the environmentalists across the UK and the Republic of Ireland, and we have a Five Nations Waste Crime Group which meets twice a year. Scottish Environment Agency, Natural Resources Wales, Environment in England, and of course our partners down south in the EPA. And again, based on the same information and our best practice methods in approaching environmental crime. And of course, I know of only your own logo there, but your logo is representing the 11 councils within Northern Ireland. We do work closely with 11 councils. You may have more knowledge of the latest flag tipping protocol that we're trying to get up and running again, but Lavinkas, I'm going to cover that in the next slide. Yes, partnership working with council, flag tipping protocol and current legislation. The AMD primarily works under the Waste and Family of Law Order in 1997. There are two articles within that order, Article 4 and Article 5, which deal with illegal waste disposal. The duty of care on operators to obtain records for waste. Those cars are only available to the Northern Environment Agency at the minute. But the Leighton Accommodated Landlord Amendment there, Act 2011, when it's commenced, the force effect commenced, those powers will transfer to the local council. So the local council will have the exact same powers as the agency in dealing with environmental crime or environmental waste disposal. And because ourselves and the council will have the same powers, the question is asked, well, who deals with what? Therefore, there's a need for some form of protocol between ourselves and the local council that draws the demarcation lines around that. There is a revised protocol at the minute in draft form. It's before all 11 councils at the minute, and the agency is taking commitment from those 11 councils to sign up to that protocol, because the agency does intend to bring forward the amended legislation by the end of March this year. So I think it's in all of our interest that we sign up to that and work jointly. The protocol itself, in terms of the demarcation lines, very basically says that any waste deposits smaller than 20 metres cubed should go initially to pay to the council to have a look at them to deal with. And any of the larger steel stuff of all 20 metres cubed should be dealt with the Northern Ireland Environment Agency. There is a particular clause in that protocol around hazardous waste, because a lot of our council community centres can't deal with particular forms of hazardous, particularly the fuel under waste or asbestos. And the agency would take those forms of waste in under our responsibility, regardless of the volume of that. So the protocol, although it draws those demarcation lines, there's a big emphasis on joint partnership working. And if the councils feel that some of the agencies, even though they're smaller scale, warrant further investigation or are part of a bigger picture, then we can work jointly together. The agency would take on some of the investigation work around those smaller issues, those jointly can address the issue of waste crime. That protocol itself, as I say, has been sent out to all 11 councils. I have 5 councils on board at the minute. 4 are holding their say, including Julian Morris at the minute. And I do have an engagement session this Monday that will be held in Belfast City Hall with the technical advisory groups of all 11 councils and the environmental health group of all 11 councils, just to tease out some of the other questions that remain from those councils who haven't signed up yet. And hopefully, once we go through that session of it, when there's a bit more clarity, we'll bring more people on board and get this protocol up and running. So I think that's my 10 minutes up. I hope that's given a very brief idea of what we'll do, and I'm quite happy to take any questions you may have on those issues I've just put.
Thank you for the presentation. Just a few queries. I want to ask about the tyres, the figures you give for the tyres. Does that also take into account the tyres of the council lifts, or is that separate to that?
No, those figures that I assume you've seen in the reported to the Environment Agency, that's not our system.
Because we would have lifted, the council here would have lifted a lot of tyres, and we don't seem to be getting any more of them. We don't seem to make much progress. I don't know whether some people will argue that come in, the arguments on all the kind of how that there can't be some serial mark on them that it takes on to come from. A lot of people think they come from the south and that, but we had this council here lifts an awful lot of tyres, and it's still a serious problem for us. So the other issue I want to ask you about was the waste. When the legislation changed some years ago, that the Derry and Moore and District Council had a contract with whoever lifted the waste that was left from the diesel wash that would be dumped out along the road. And some years ago that changed, it went through the Environmental Agency where they lifted those bigger tubes that was dumped out on the road. But the problem with the environment here is the time scale in lifting these tubes is tipped out on the road and most of them is leaking. And when it was under the council, the council would immediately get the contract to lift the tubes. But with ourselves, some of these tubes can leak for 4 or 5 days in a week. And they're leaking out, most of them's leaking, and there's two on Lockerbie Road at the minute, and I was up there today, and they're leaking out into a farmer's drain. You know, and you'd imagine if that was the responsibility of the Environmental Agency, that they would want that lifted straight away, that they wouldn't want to leave it and let as much of it seep away for a week right through into the countryside. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, we as a council always had a serious problem with that, with the time scale it had. And as I say, when it was under the council, they will have the contract to lift up the next day, and they'd be gone. But as I say, there's two up there. I don't know if any of this is the ground lift them up, but we can wait. But I believe it's a serious problem for us, and I think that there's the environmental agency. I can't understand why they're happy enough with these troops to leave for a week and sleep away into the country. Say, I talked with your role in protecting the environment, and say they says we'd lift them straight away.
Well, first of all, I would be happy personally of those queues sitting for 5 days because they are an environmental hazard. And I know our contractor who are tasked with lifting these queues has a maximum of 48 hours turnaround time to lift those queues. So if there are any issues, particular issues with particular instance, I'd very much like to know the detail of that so that I can approach our contractor. Certainly when it's mentioned to us, he would issue the notice out to the contractor right away on the same day, and he has 48 hours to remove that waste. If the waste is already leaking, we would also contact our water management unit in Lisburn. We go out on the day and pick buttons around the waste to try and contain it, whilst our own contractor comes out to pick up. So, apologies if we're trying to end some of the ones you're talking about, and I'd like to know the detail of that, and I'll have that followed up for you, but certainly it has to be actually within 48 hours, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what it is on paper. The reality of the real world is awesome. It's a week, and it's whatever seeps away. That may be a unfair or taking a box for that, but the reality of living with it is that there's many of them leave 5 or 6 days and whatever seeps off into the countryside and left down. That is the reality of it.
Well, I'll certainly have a look at that when I return to the office. Yeah.
Okay, David?
Yeah,
thanks,
Chair. Like, sorry, I represent South on that, and I want to confirm his comments regarding fuel calls. Generally, it is longer than 48 hours before we go find and then accept it. But certainly, the main problems that I would come across would be the fuel pods, the tires, and general blanket. And certain areas in particular within South Armagh where there seems to be a focus of these problems occurred.
Yeah.
So, my main concern with some of the issues is obviously there's a cost associated with having to remove these items. Even the last week, I put a report where she's missed as a new panel where there has been, you know, windows and things like that, just not, you know. But there doesn't appear to be much in terms of prosecutions, certainly we're aware of, you know, for these type of criminal activities. And that's a concern, obviously, because prosecutions would be, in my opinion, one of the main concerns, not the main concern, potential people are doing this type of activity. Is there any measures that you think where there's some weaknesses, whether it be legislation or whatever it may be at this stage, what's actually preventing that happening, or is it just a lack of evidence is the main issue? In terms of bringing prosecutions to the fore with those
type of things. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's two parts of that. There's certainly the lack of evidence that it's a lot of these small scale incidents, door frames, tires, remote areas, there's no way that we can sort of trace where that material came from. Certainly there's sort of black bin bag of household waste, you can rummage through it and see if there's addresses and look at this maybe leads it to whoever dumped the waste, but in most of the cases that isn't the case and so we can't pursue prosecution. We also have an enforcement policy in the agency that we apply, and it's a proportionate application of our enforcement laws here. And if we find it to be very low risk or small scale, you can imagine trying to take that to court. The time you get officers out to interview people, when you take it into court, the bar service or the solicitors are involved, it's effectively a big public expense, and sometimes it's easier to deal with it by way of fixed penalty. We would just issue a fixed penalty, some of the very small scale things, and a fixed penalty, if it's dead, it doesn't become a criminal record. So. But however, if you're not with two or three fixed counties, we're pretty well considered taking it further for the prosecution. But that's a lot of to do with the smaller scale issues. Certainly the larger scale waste disposal that would have an environmental impact or have some sort of organised criminality about it, there's a lot more resource put in to try and identify where that waste comes from. So it's a difficult one. Yes, we would like to see more prosecutions, but like I say, we're restricted first of all by the evidence, and secondly by our enforcement policy and how we see.
Sure, just frankly, in terms of the possible of the larger scale criminality that's involved in this, and I understand there's been so much information in terms of intelligence, you know, provision, but certainly from the intelligence that you do have, there's much of a fair idea who the criminal groups are that are involved in the type of Is that intelligence not bringing you any sort of further closer to, you know, trying to eradicate this problem? Because it's not happening. You know, there's not public groups there, it's certainly the criminals that are involved in the parts of some groups, and
Well, I really want to comment on the detail of that intelligence, but all I can say is that when you go to court, particularly criminal court, you have to prove it to a criminal standard. Yeah, which involves evidence, and you have all the evidence you want, but unless you have the criminal evidence to support that, then it's very difficult.
Question, so like within, I think generally every last one of us would all sort of nod our heads and go, that's the big issue. Certainly our in Rwanda, the biggest one that we've had lately was we had tyres, the gutted 200 tyres was kindly left at the agriculture ground, so literally just completely flat and was left there. Where do we stand? I mean, the police kind of thinking, is there no way, certainly from top down, that there can be some kind of serial mark or something like that put on tires? I know certainly somewhere else in the world, I'm not sure where, but somewhere else in the world actually put serial marks. I know it's very easy, 200 tires are left, there you go, we're able to identify where those tires come. I know it's me maybe usually oversimplifying something, but is that not surely common sense or something that can come in?
There are serial marks on tires, but we obviously have pursued that right to the nth degree and cannot trace the origin of the tires from the serial marks that's on it due to the complex ban and sale magnets for the UK. As regards maybe some traceable mark in future, that would be outside my control of arena. I don't know, that's more of a producer responsibility, so that's how you have it. So I don't know, I couldn't comment on that.
Everybody, all right, any more questions?
Oh, sorry, Willie, come back. Thanks very much, Stuart. Thanks for the presentation. I suppose back to the tires, is the, along the same lines of the chairperson's sort of remarks, the public are extremely frustrated by the lack of the paper trail in regards to tires. Customers are paying for their tires to be recycled. The money is taken off them. Yet there doesn't seem to be an inventory of where the tires are being recycled. You know, what you would think that the tires are bought and brought to the garage, and the tires are leaving the garage to be recycled, that your organisation would carry out inspection, that they're a bona fide recycling company, and that there's a paper trail and an exchange between the garage owner and the recycling. It sounds simple, but you would imagine throughout Europe that is the standard, that's what happens. It's a frustration for us that sort of checks and inspections won't take place, and the public find that frustrated as well.
So, it's certainly came about with your standard, but you've heard me earlier on about how we carry for inspections. Last year we carried 157 inspections, and that's part of what we do. I'm not sure I'll have a breakdown for that. I can certainly prevent it with the council in due course, but I'm not too sure that it's for New York. Yes. But the tire records issue, yes, when as a member of the public is into your garage and has your tire changed, yes, you are have to charge an environmental charge to dispose of your tire. First of all, that charge is voluntary, it's not mandatory to pay that charge, and there's no records on that. So with regard to this tire itself, whenever that tire retailer or the garage wants to dispose of those tires, yes, they do have to keep the proper paperwork. They have to have documentation to say where those tires have gone to and provide address details of that licensed facility that has accepted those tires in terms of the quantity, who picked them up and where they're not in the date they were transferred. And that's part of our audit inspection, we carry that out. The difficulty here is that the garage themselves can offer us all the paper for where they've sent the tires that they've sent lawfully for disposal. So we find it very difficult to match that quantity of tires up with the number of tires that actually bought or sold, because we don't see that side of the balance, if you know what I mean. So they could have bought in 1,000 tires and sold 1,000 tires in a month. Maybe they only lawfully disposed of 500 of those tires and keep the paperwork for that and make sure they get on paper. But we don't see that gap in the middle, and that's something we're very conscious of. And I know down south in the Republic of Ireland, there was legislation brought in a couple of years back to have all tire retailers on a registered database, a broader requirement to keep both sides of the balance in terms of that information that seems to be paying dividends down south. And I know the UK, counterparts in DEFRA in the UK, are looking at that producer responsibility issue as a the UK as a whole, but I don't think it'll be dealt with for another 2 or 3 years yet because of the background with bringing up forward other legislation. But totally on board with what you're saying, and then you put in your head like that lack of information both sides.
Alright,
thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Just a few questions. Now that our assembly's up and running and we do have a new environment minister, could you, what advantages do you see that have to stick around where we are situated with the border for here for nearly more in other new environments? Is there anything sitting that wasn't passed through legislation that maybe could say, and you could see it comes to fruition, that we can see maybe more positive results, for example, on the ground?
Well, surely not going to be sitting on the back burner. One of the main issues for me that has been sitting for the past couple of years is obviously the commencement of the legislation that's just mentioned there, and offer those powers out to the councils. That would give the councils stronger power to deal with the flag given and that partnership protocol. That's certainly something that has been sitting in the absence of the minister for the past 3 years, but we were fortunate enough to put that forward to the senior city forum of the executive, and we were able to pass commencement of that legislation in the absence of the minister. So that's one of the decisions we didn't take forward. And the absence of the mission, I think that partnership will help us address. Obviously, we're also looking currently at the new Northern Ireland Protocol and what it means along the border and in terms of that. We're still assessing that at the minute and what impact that may have or may not have on this thing. And there may be some pieces of legislation or other some of the policy will come from that, but at the minute, I couldn't say.
And can I just ask, what do you think the holdback is from the four councils then that haven't signed up? What do you think the issues are?
It's only my personal view, haven't seen some of the responses coming back. I think it's just the lack of clarity on what some of the responsibilities may be whenever these new powers are handed out to the councils, and it's just maybe it needs a bit more engagement. I also think there's a wee bit around trust between ourselves and the councils. I think I worked very hard certainly the past few years to build that trust with the 11 councils so that we're seen as we're all partisan and deal with mystery space, because it affects me as much as you up in Belfast or over in Europe up and down. I think we do all have to work really closely together to deal with the issues. So, personal feeling is I don't think there's any significant issues, it just needs to be put clearly to keep things forward.
Okay, so
if
can you comment on the
Irish
very well on your presentation, I think I'm not going to try and problem at all here, but you looked at Ireland and your district today. What about the problem in that thing? We looked on television about 2 weeks ago, there was a number of animal farms, a number of animals were claimed back because they were being treated very badly.
The reference to animals is just to be inclusive of all the infants that are reported to us. There are some instances reported for about the disposal of carcasses, cattle carcasses. That is not really just within my specifically that goes to our veterinary services council within Europe, and they would follow that up to see if there has anything on animal cruelty or any issues around farming and things like that. So the animal issues are a very small number of instances that come out every year, and that's forwarded to our veterinary services section over here to deal with.
Okay,
how
is the construction site waste? Is that construction site waste?
It can include construction site waste. It can also involve other forms of waste, soil, stone and clay. We also have some issues around trommel fines. Trommel fines are the fine residue from a waste treatment facility. That fine residue has no further value and has to go to a landfill and attracts the landfill tax and gate fee. So sometimes those people who have that material, it's quite handy to dispose of that illegally and avoid paying that landfill cost.
Just
double,
no,
all controlled waste that is to be used, some controlled waste can be used actually for infill and lawfully on the planning permission, but all controlled waste that is to be deposited in any form of land has to have some sort of permit from the agency, whether it's an exemption or a license, and we hold that database in the agency. So if you're concerned about a particular parcel of land, contact the agency, provide the location and the address, and we will check our database. In fact, the database is online through the DAIR website. There's a public register there that you can go on openly and check up the resident site.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for your presentation. It was enjoyable, and I think we definitely got to answer the questions through the recognition. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so moving on to item number five, money. So I'll just read this out. I think it's quite a simple one, but I'll read it out anyway. That the council will maximise food waste collection contributing to our recycling targets and reduction of our carbon footprint by simplifying its biodegradable bags and delivery system to residents. In a nutshell, what I mean by this is that living over in Wales, as I did for a number of years, there was quite a few councils over in the mainland. And what they did with their food recycling was you would, when you came to the end of your roll, you would tie it on the bin or something like that, the last bag. And then the bin men would know that you needed a new bin bag, and they would then leave a roll, and that would be, that's how that would work. So from that point of view, you're encouraging people to recycle their food more. They're not having to go to Tesco's. I mean, maybe not everybody's, but like me, in the sense of being a Scrooge, and you know, going and paying £1.50 for a roll, it can sometimes be a matter of principle. And equally, then we can't very well turn around and say that, oh, we're a recycling council if we're not trying to help people be better recyclers, or if we're asking them then to go to council offices to pick up bin bags, you know, because then the carbon footprint, and we're having, you know, emissions to jump in our car to then go to a council building to then go and pick up these bags, and it's not really encouraging people to do it, and they're just going to fling the food into the regular bin. So what I'm suggesting, or what I'm asking the council to do, is take a look and to try and embrace something along this. Where we can throw out bags as and when they're needed, so not willy-nilly. I don't want bags lying on the side of the road, you know, that aren't a process that isn't thought through. But just something to encourage people, you know, to do it more than what they are currently doing. I think it's a relatively simple tweak that we could do, and hope that you will support with this. Thank you. Karen.
Thanks very much, Chair, and relieved that most of you are happy to second it. I will be fully supportive of the motion. I do welcome the efforts to simplify procedures to enable residents to fully participate in recycling. You know, as a councillor, I too get comments from constituents about where councillors differ. Might can we not be the same as others or whatever, you know. And I understand you the concerns or whatever, probably due costs, whatever, but I do firmly believe it is a good motion, very fervent one, and I'll be supporting the same, and I look forward to something on the agenda in 6 months comes. So go ahead and second the motion, please.
Thank you,
Karen. Thanks, Chair. No, I think it's a good motion too. Sure. I mean, it encourages people to recycle more, and it has to be welcome. I think we've had a major success in regards to the food waste in our ground cabbies and the ground bin. I think the public have bought into it. So I think we need to just keep the momentum to continue to recycle. I mean, the simplified should be welcome. It's just, I suppose, how we identify when people need the extra bags. If they're thinking that the resident needs something else, a marker, to indicate they need bags when they're leaving out their ground bin. And I suppose the issue probably we have to deal with probably terms and conditions with our refuse workers. Obviously, this is extra work. But I know we're discussing terms and conditions for refuge workers, and so maybe that this could form part of that discussion, because it's not even just you know the bags aspect. It's also about, you know, different stickers putting on the bin, like Christmas holidays and that type of stuff. So there's probably a number of issues that we'll probably have to deal with at the same time, even issues when. I'm knocking off your motion, sir. Even with issues when there's a stillage and stuff of a blue bin and they're scattered around the neighbourhood, you know, there's an opportune time to collect that litter at that stage, you know, and maybe again that could be one part of them thoughts. But it happens to support it.
Thank you.
Chair Beasley, yep, just we have the opportunity to support the motion as well. And the reason, as I said, support her
short-term work involved in terms of, you know, the establishing the system as proposed here, but certainly for maybe some short-term work, I just love to hear from us. Certainly, you know, sooner than that, so we'll talk about this in our room. Very happy to support. Thank you for bringing it forward again.
Thank you very much, David. Do you want to say anything, Alison?
If you're happy, then I can move to point 6, which is the report of the officers that we can move forward with this motion. Yes,
go ahead.
So, Chair, you have considered the notice of motion. What we're suggesting is that officers would now go and look at best practice and options and bring some paper back to the committee to consider what the preferred route is for this council. I would say that there was previous research undertaken on this issue, and the current practice was identified as the preferred option. So we will dust that down, look at it again, see what other councils are doing, bring a report back in due course. If members are happy enough with that.
Anybody
got it? Okay.
That
is
happy.
Okay.
Right, okay, where am I now? Item 7. So, the report on draft action plan for the development of council tree strategy. So, is that?
The report is for decision committee. It's provided as a follow up to the report which was given this committee back in September last year regarding notice of motion for the council to develop a tree strategy. So, we undertook to report back to the committee the draft action plan for the development of the tree strategy. Attached at Appendix 1 to the report is the draft action plan for your approval. You'll see within the draft action plan that there are 5 concepts outlined: sustainable management, appropriate planting, effective protection, innovative involvement, and partnership working. The draft action plan has been developed collaboratively, working with a range of different organisations and agencies. It is proposed that the tree strategy will be developed around those 5 key concepts. The recommendation from the report committee is that we will ask for your approval and endorsement of the key concepts within the draft action plan and to agree to the further progression of the developing tree action plan and tree strategy. Our grounds maintenance team is currently working on the tree strategy, and with a fair wind, within the next 3 to 6 months, you should have something solid to bring back to the committee for its approval. Sure.
Okay, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to thank the officers for the work so far. We just haven't brought the notice of motion that the council developed the tree strategy, and I have to say, the coordinated approach is exactly what the motion intended, and if we do work with other stakeholders in regards to moving forward. And indeed, once we develop our tree strategy, we can certainly take it through the community planning process with our other state partners in that forum. Because I think it's an important piece of work in regards to you touched on most of the stuff there, Kevin, is important: mitigating climate change, reducing flooding, increasing tree cover. We believe the lowest tree cover in Europe. And also maintaining the trees we have in our streetscape, particularly older trees in our streetscape as well. The point about replacing trees on a regular basis. I just think you've touched all of the issues that I intended. The audit would be interesting to hear. That was a lot of work. John, that I would use on, where myself and John were in it, John and Gwynba, I'm looking at it, because there's no Gwynba in that area, no Gwynba in the US. So, a lot of good work to happen, and again, a lot of partners are in the performance, and the Lexington Woodland Trust, the Moore Heritage Trust, is another good partner in regards to that. And so I look forward to the strategy and all within 6 months. And I'd like to suppose that we go ahead.
Okay, David.
Yeah, sure, thanks very much. Very happy to second the proposal. There's obviously quite a bit of work done so far, and you know, I think it's important that we do move forward with it. And it does mention that working with partnerships, and that's going to be key, actually delivering success for this project, is working with experts, communities, and communities in terms of favouring this, that will lead to success of the action plan and everything implemented. So, it might not be the second that we're going to move forward in the future.
Okay, anybody else? Everybody okay? Okay.
Right,
okay, where are we up to now? Item 8. Okay, so the report on public convenience strategy, Kevin?
Yes, this report is also part of this item. The purpose of the report is to provide the committee with an update on the progress in developing the council's public convenience strategy and to seek approval to commence the business case process for two capital projects which have already been identified from the process. Since our last meeting in June last year, when we talked about this, we have completed a public consultation exercise through the council DEA fora. So we've visited all seven DEA fora meetings and outlined what the strategy is containing currently, and we got positive feedback for that. We hope that the strategy will be completed at this stage. It's not currently in a form that we're able to present to you. We hope that our target is that we'll be presented to you next month. The report before you tonight sets out the key principles that we have within the strategy, and we're bringing those to you tonight because we want to get your endorsement for those before we finalise on the draft strategy. As I said, we have identified some capital works that we believe which are going to be part of the strategy, and rather than delay any further, we want to start the business case process for bringing them to you for final approval. The two in particular we're talking about is that the council has already agreed to place a new public toilet in the village of Palop. Our work with the Newcastle public conveniences, there's a number in the town. There's one in Castle Park, an old building, and we see that as being a stair in terms of our public conveniences. It will be there. It is an excellent building, but it is in need of significant refurbishment, and that's the business case we want to look at and how we'll improve that and bring that back to you. That's the report, Chair. It's looking for endorsement in terms of the key principles that we're currently have set aside for the strategy, but it's also looking for your endorsement for those two key capital projects that we want to take forward. And it also advises you that the capital project for the Restrever public toilet, which is currently closed, it's moving on at pace with our colleagues in ADHC.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I know you've done quite a bit of hard work there. It's something that's impacted on us as well in the Wallen, which is what I'm sure Terry is going to touch on. And I know I've spoken to you personally about the state of our public conveniences in Stanfield. I know that's certainly something that you're looking into. So I personally, as Chair, appreciate you doing this.
Thanks very much, Chair. I do welcome the paper, and I know that there's a wide range in programme and works that's going to be proposed and listed in the thing. And I know a lot of the existing structures in place have passed the sell by date, and some of them have been over 20 years, sort of temporary structures or whatever the type of use. But I do welcome the investment, and especially in a resort. I know Utrecht, Newcastle, Waterpoint, and Restrever, all those places, especially the same thing with the issues there too. But I fully support the recommendations, and I'm going to have the proposal that do proceed immediately with the recommendations.
Thank you,
Councillor. Willie,
did you
want that? Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's in Ruby, and I'd just like to welcome the work that's been carried out. There's a lot of work been carried out. This has been going on over years now, and so we're finally getting to the end of our strategy. But I think it is important that we get it right. And a number of issues, I raised this a number of years ago when we started the piece of work, but it happened in Newcastle where a lot of the toilets were in really poor state, and we got a lot of negative publicity in regards to it. A number of toilets happened to be closed, and I think it's around 6 toilets in the Newcastle area. I think it's important that we do have quality toilets made available. As the report's saying, we have to look at the antisocial behaviour affecting our public toilets and how we mitigate that also, and the location of our toilets, that's an important aspect.
And I think it's very important in regards to the design brief and the design report as well, but you know, less able users, include you know, autism, and also dementia and severely disabled users. I think that's essential. It's essential we get it right. You know, with 1.2 million to spend over the 3-year period. So I think it is important that we do a lot of the government and work on the best practice. In regards to rolling out the outworkings of the strategy, I think it's important also that the public see, you know, some work's beginning. So this is the beginning, this is the clock and the Strabber refurbishment and Castle Park's a flagship product provision right in the centre of town. So I welcome that and I second the proposal.
Okay, everybody alright? Okay, so moving on to item 9, the report of elevation of alternatives to use and herbicides, I can't say that, sorry, containing microphosphate for controlling weeds and invasive species on council properties. So over to you, Kevin.
Thanks, Chair. This report is also for decision. The committee will remember that a notice of motion was brought before the pitch in November last year, seeking that the council stop the use of herbicides containing glyphosate on the council estate. Out of the discussions that we had that night, 4 recommendations were made, and officers were to report back to this committee on the actions taken at today's meeting. The report that I've provided you with addresses each of the 4 recommendations and the action that will be taken by the officers concerning each one. I draw your attention in particular to the actions taken concerning the first recommendation within the November report, which is for officers to undertake research into the implication of ceasing the use of herbicides containing glyphosate across the council estate. Within the report, details are provided on the research undertaken, which has included research of best practice and advice from relevant agencies. Our grounds maintenance manager, Johnny Ellis, who's with us here tonight, has attended the APSE seminar on this subject. APSE, for those that are unfamiliar with it, the Association of Public Services Excellence. We have investigated alternative options for controlling weeds and invasive species and presented an assessment of these options within the paper presented to you tonight. We've also undertaken local trials of alternative methods of control. The recommendation in terms of that particular part of the report is that we do not cease the use of herbicides containing glyphosate, but that through greater control of its use and the use of suitable alternatives, we achieve a phased reduction in its use over time. So we reduce what we can at the moment, taking account of costs and all other issues, but as industry improves and other alternatives become available on the market, we will avail those opportunities to further reduce the use of glyphosate. Sure, that's the recommendation for the report. Myself and Johnny are here tonight, and if there are specific questions the committee wants to put to us, we'll do our best to respond to those.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Chair. Just to say, the notice of motion, the original notice of motion, I think the whole council were really supportive of the motion. Indeed, it was Sinn Féin that took the motion to join the Strabane Council. And so I think the will of the council was to ban glyphosate in totality. But the reason we bring motions to committees is for more research to be done to advise members of the consequences. And there's an issue with the financial consequences, but there is the issue of health as well. So it's an important balance in regards to the committee moving forward. I think a number of what I'd like to hear is how Interior and Savan got on. And then I'd imagine it's a similar sort of issue that they've run against as well. But the immediate ban of it will cause major difficulties for ground staff and council in general. I think the option 4, the phased approach, reduced by 25%, is a welcome development. And if the other statutory bodies would do likewise, we would see a vast improvement across our old council, our enemies and all that. You know, so I think we need to, you know, use our leverage in regards to that also, that we encourage others to do likewise moving forward. We part of the proposal, as Kevin's going to amendment to the proposal, that we write to the other statutory bodies, and a very fair response came back. There was only one from the Liberty Agency to come back, that they were still going to use it in a limited way in regards to Japanese knotweed and other invasive species. So they came back, and I know our MLA, Emma Rogan, entered in the correspondence with ERA in regards to their position overall, which we've taken, you know, the Forest Service and other bodies. They again said they were content to continue to use it. I talked to forestry managers, and they said the same. They had experimented with other non-mechanical type solutions, but found they still needed play foster. So I suppose as much non-mechanical controls were possible is what I'm sure the committee wants to see, particularly in around playgrounds and picnic areas, which a number of people you know, objecting and passionate about in the public hour. You know, they feel that, particularly the MRAs, you know, when people, children are crawling and maybe putting their hands in their mouths and stuff like that, that there could be issues, really, health issues in regards to that. Also, people are eating picnic tables and stuff, that could be dripped from one killer. You know, so that type of argument has to be taken seriously by the council moving forward. And I think we're possible that we shouldn't be using the MRAs if possible. In regards to the cost, if we go down the manual eradication of weeds and the resource issue for that personnel, and taking personnel from community horticulture duties and moving them into weeding, it would have severe financial consequences also in the report 439,000 per year. Anybody in the race process, has been through the race process, has seen the difficulties in trying to even reduce by half a million to get us to a rate rise where we might be happy with, but we couldn't squeeze any more because frontline services were just beginning to suffer and crumble. So I'm conscious of that money, and I know people have been saying, well, how do you get a value on health? You know, but that's the balance we have to do. And I think if we take option four and the phased approach,
please, can we respectful
to reduce the amount of glyphosate and look at all the trials, continue to trial, and encourage other councils to carry individual trials and look at best practice. I think the council's going to the phone stream. So if we work towards that progression, I think we'd see better outcomes and keep reviewing it, keep it under review, how we're getting on and how we can improve things. We're also, there's been a number of motions in regards to rewilding wild flowers. You know, so there are some aspects we can look at and continue to reduce the amount of weed that are needed and continue to move in that area. We talked about tree strategies as well, moving forward. You know, so there's a large area of land which we will see change. And hopefully then that is going to continue to reduce the amount of chemical fertilizer.
Thanks, Mr. Carr. Sorry, thanks very much, Chairperson. Yeah, and thanks for the report, and partly agree with Councillor Clark on some of his comments that he has made, and that's why the motions are brought forward, that those are investigated further. But I would like to ask before we make any decisions on this, the comparison in your report did include the area and surrounding councils where they didn't have a costing, as far as I was aware, talking to colleagues, they didn't have costing when they introduced the ban. So were you able to compare the costing from that council in your report, or is that something totally separate?
We don't have the costings for Strabane and Derry. They currently don't have an alternative. What they're advising is that they have stopped using weed killers that contain glyphosate, but they don't have an alternative at the moment.
They don't.
Sorry, just about what I'm personally met them at as Kevin said, that they've no alternative, that they haven't got as far with the process as we have, because we sat down and worked out to get to those figures, each man, each machinery, fuel, etc. They haven't been through that process yet. They're just with alternatives, they're at the same level as we are. They've done research, you know, UK wide, they've engaged other agencies and things, and sort of realised that there isn't an immediate practical alternative to what they're proposing to do, is come from a phase, you know, trial other areas as well, but there's no practical solution.
I mean, every council did agree with Councillor Brown's motion to agree that the stop use of this would be fully supportive of. But I mean, in practical terms, which has been laid out in the report, I mean, 25% reduction in the usage is something, I suppose, it's not the outcome that we all wanted, but at the start. It would be a possibility then, maybe for the council to revisit this in, say, 12 months time, give us the trial period, 12 months, and to revisit again, just to see where we are, you know, has something new come onto the market, how it is affecting the like of, if council doctors, maybe areas that are already signed up to wildflower planting or trees and stuff like that, and we then started to re-look at it again.
So you want to do an amendment, Karen, are you?
Well, just a
time limit.
A time limit, yeah. I mean, the outcome mightn't be different than what we're looking at on the paper this evening, but it's certainly, I think, the support that came around the chamber for to stop the use of this, it's very genuine support. And what, as I say, we are coming through a late process, and we know what the monies are and the type of stuff. It's not an excuse, I suppose, when there is health concerns out there, if there's other health concerns and other things that's been used around us, but it's also been looked at. I think possibly the like of the tree, introduction of the trees, plant trees, and our wildflower growers is going to help, I think, possibly, but it might be actually more than the 25%. We also invest a lot of money in the district in football fields and sports facilities, and I mean, like, growing weeds is a pain of all, and the knotweed and seeing the damage that it can do to animals and indeed humans, and the treatment of that is something that I would be supporting if there wasn't an alternative there to get rid of it, other than I know it as roundups, you know. So I mean, I would tend to have the view to support the recommendations of item 4 in the report, but to really look at it again in 12 months' time, make sure that, you know, the efforts that are made now maybe will be able to see more of an improvement, but I mean, it's a start. Thank you. Go ahead, Gavin.
I would certainly be opposed to them, like everyone else, I'm sure.
Gary and Savannah with the system from using it would indicate that they have serious concerns about it, so I think people on public record, I have serious concerns about that, looked it up and read a bit in it, and surely there must be some form of alternative. So I'm very opposed to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. Mr. Chairman, if you had asked me this question two and a half years ago, it wasn't the one that interested, but when I lost my old son as a result of non fortunes lymphoma. Now, what I'm going to say, first of all, that I cannot say that because he passed away from that disease, that it was anything to do with roundups, just to put it bluntly. But certainly made me have a closer look at things. And when you read that if you use the faucet, you have a 41% chance of contracting that disease of cancer, lymphoma cancer, from the active use of it. Now, it then makes you ask, why some countries in the world have banned it? Have they done their homework on it? across America, there's some massive payout. I think it's somewhere in the region of 2.6 billion they've paid out on compensation to those who have used it and maybe sad consequences of it. But even closer to home, but there were a few places like Malawi, Togo, Thailand, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Qatar, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, and then closer to Europe in Austria. They did ban slightly on beer in Belgium. Czech Republic has restrictions on it. Denmark, France. Now France has a 3-year, or given themselves 3 years, until they will ban it, giving themselves time to get this alternative. Now my issue with it is, whilst we are content to use this stuff, Monsanto, the manufacturer, would be content to produce it. But if we send a real tough message from not only this council, but across the board, it's only at that point when that message perhaps hit home. And who knows, there could be an alternative there, but for whatever reason, let's use what's out there. Everybody knows Roundup, so let's use it. And I know in agricultural circles that can be useful, yes, it can be. But I do know for a fact that spraying this stuff in public parks, community areas where children are literally playing, falling, rolling in. I've even heard of the wee sand things there that actually spray this stuff, where children are literally following that and having fun after this. And they don't realise the danger of the spray and the overspray and how far spray will travel. And I'll even go as far to see some of those who have been actively spraying it, not even wearing a mask, which perhaps they were provided with but not used, and I think that's that right. And the other thing is, but when it is used, there should be signage or something up behind, but this part has been sprayed for so many days to keep clear of it, and that's what has to be done. We have got to send this massive message home to the manufacturer. The manufacturer has even said that if the case taken before the courts in America, the pressure was on. I think it was after 46 million or something paid out to one client, that they actually produced documents to prove that they have in their own written articles for their own manufacturing stuff that glyphosate will cause cancer. They've actually stated that. And that would never have come out unless bit of pressure from courts and juries asking for it. So I think there's a lot more that could be done. Certainly, 25% reduction, I suppose that's a start. But I would like to think that we will put a time limit on. And not only a reduction, but a ceasing of use. And I'm sure that at some point in time, somebody will produce something. It might not be Monsanto, but some other organization will produce it. So, certainly, if it's an amendment to the human rights, that's the amendment that I would commit in, that there will be a time, like Italy. Like Italy have also said, in 3 years, they will not be using it. And that's given a time to be right. I know there are these other wheat, giant knotweed and all these things, Japanese knotweed, that maybe in special use where it's injected directly in the roots is perhaps one way of disposing of that wheat, but without good damage to the community or environment and the children who are growing up. Thank you.
Carol, thank you very much. I have to say, even sitting here, you know, hearing about your son and the death of your son and how he passed away, I am physically moved. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's been very, very difficult for you. So I appreciate you bringing such a personal statement to hear. Where I'm probably sitting on it a little bit is, I kind of sort of put it together to some of what Lily said, some of what Karen said, and some of what Harold said, in the sense that I am happy with it being phased out, but I would lean more, I would like it to be phased out sooner rather than later, but I would also, you know, and I would almost go as far as where Harold's concerned and say, if we come across another alternative, get it tuned up, phased out as quick as possible. As far as it being a time limit, I think the time limit needs to be there as far as being able to make us accountable to something. But the other thing as well that I would like to, but I'm happy to discuss because I'm only throwing it out, as far as there should be certain areas where it shouldn't be used, where the next best alternative, such as site marks, around schools, those sorts of things. So I appreciate we can't just pick our fingers and let all of the weeds grow around us, you know, and we're trying to get our way into schools for all of these. I mean, I have horses and some of the weeds are, you know, really dangerous for the animals where that's concerned. So I don't know if I'm suggesting an amendment, but certainly I would like it. The most difficult cases, such as schools and pet parks and things like that, I don't know, maybe suggesting an amendment to at least as soon as possible not use it there. But happy to take anybody to sort of come back in. I know this isn't really how it's done, but if anybody wants to come back in and disagree with me.
But if you're I agree with all the comments that have been made here. It's a very serious situation that we find ourselves in here in the ourselves. And you know what I mean? Unfortunately, it's us, but we have stopped using it now, haven't we?
No,
we're not using it at all. It was principle that Karen was saying, and what Karen was saying, and the time that to get to, there's something that's there that can be stated. So if we give ourselves a time limit, say 7 months, and then from I think I'll make a decision whether we stop it or reduce it going to maybe nil together. But we have to make some decision, and I think maybe at this present point of time, because of the situation, because of what could happen and what it can do to people and things together, we have to make a decision. But there's a lot of information that hasn't come to us yet, and that's the bit that I would like to find out. But give yourself more time to get further information, to see what we can do, and then we go along. We can't make a spell month, I would go along with that.
Okay,
but
this is
the
question.
I'm going to make sure that you're not allowed to hear this, because the last time you were in here, you were swearing.
They're not.
Can you please, die before I bring security? And you will be barred.
Pregnant women are for children. No, there is one of them. You're going against the law. You are breaking the law. No, I won't get out. You're breaking the law. Children are getting cancer. Kids don't die. My friends are not just a trauma. You're talking about what a man suffers.
I want to thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members of the public after and thank the officers and the members
our judgment goes on minutes of the meeting that that's put before tonight. I want to know how and why, and I want to investigate it as to how members of the public got to read this report. And there's basically quoted word for word on the information that I have.
I think it goes on the website. Yes, it's not heard in closed session, Karen. All the reports are uploaded to the council's website.
When did that happen?
Whenever the agenda was issued last week.
Okay, I didn't realise, so I thought that was coming. But anyway, I'm not really passionate about the data. Everybody's very passionate about this. We all have our own concerns. But we are where we are. And money does come into it. And unfortunately, I want to be different than the way I handled the different than the 15% hike in rates for anybody. And that's why I made the suggestion when I did the speak first on item option 4, but that we look at it again and review it within 12 months. Because, as I say, that 25% reduction is very well, it's only a starting point. But there's nothing out there to use at the minute, and Harold has said that, but I mean, like, 12 months is a long time, and when other councils are giving out, councils and companies are giving out messages that, you know, we're not no longer using this burnout, I think that's a starting point for us, that we don't require to use Roundup or in this council to phase something. But in 12 months' time, we should be really looking at this again to see where we're going on, like a few introductions for and other plans that hopefully will be able to gel together. So I'm hoping that's allowed by yourself, Chairperson, that and maybe everybody's in agreement that within the 7 months we should be at this committee automatically looking at it again. Even if it's a report to come back and say actually we've made a 30% reduction or we've only made 18, at least we need to have this set on the agenda. Because everybody is in agreement that we don't want to use it, but a bit of common sense has to prevail.
Thank you,
Chairman. Thank you, Karen. Who was first?
This is a very difficult decision, and it's something we don't take lightly. You know, I listen to my friend here, my colleague, and, you know, I remember someone passed away, I was feeling, and I've seen what Karen went through during that period of time, and I don't want to go into too much detail on that, but that's a very personal thing. But I certainly be concerned that somebody would think that the likes of Harry McKee, who's been through that type of trauma, wouldn't take a decision like this lightly. It's not right to know that someone should have to take that, you know, that type of, you know, behaviour.
Okay.
It's a very difficult decision we have had to make. We are trying to make progress on it. It's not something we are ignoring concerns on. There was a motion passed, and we are, despite what's said, reports are brought forward, and on regular occasions, councillors make amendments to those recommendations and reports. That's part of the market of the council. We don't just accept what's in front of us. We scrutinise it, we review it, and if we feel there's a better way of doing it, we try and do that by making proposals and amendments. And the other thing we do as a council, I certainly enter colleagues to do what I call is good for us, but if you make a member friendly personal benefit, any decisions we make are made for the benefit of the wider community. So the fact that Carl would even felt to bring forward this, you know, personal experience tonight in itself was great of him to do that, and certainly it's conscious of what we are doing as councillors and be able to do that and use that personal experience to try and better, you know, for the benefit of the wider community. But it's not an easy decision, but I certainly think what we'll have in front of us, and Harold may want to make another amendment to that, we are trying to do our best in this to try and bring a reasonable solution to it.
Alright, Harold, can you
No, it was disappointing what has happened there. Obviously, that was the parents that weren't taking this, and I think everybody has spoke quite very well and very good of it. Obviously, things have to happen. I think it's disappointing that I and others have stuck another most on council affairs they have. They haven't the gumption to come here.
Yeah.
And should have been here. It's not his committee, but I know one thing about him, to put forward a motion that you felt so hard about, you'd be here. I was just going to, I was still intent on saying that we set a target of 3 years, but we no longer will have to use it. And I think we're setting targets. It sends that message out that these people are doing business. And then the other book will catch on to that too. You know, I don't know, it's a certain way to say that.
Can I ask you a part of the Well, I know you want to speak, but if Roland just wants to clarify the amendment, because we've been amending left, right and centre here. So.
Obviously, we need proposals and technicals.
Obviously, we need a decision on these amendments, but the amendments that I have noted today, I'm just looking for that as well, just for clarification, is that officers undertake a 12-month review with a target to phase out completely within 3 years, and that officers prevent the use in play parks and trial of penalty amendments only in NPAs. That's the two amendments. Yeah, so the second amendment is officers prevent the use of play parks and trial of talent amendments only in these areas.
No, I don't think that was what I meant.
No?
What I meant on that one was if we make sure that at least it's not used in play parks or heavy children football areas. But what I was thinking was, you know, the non-invasive ones, can we use those on there? But we also don't want them overgrown. So, but I was happy to try and debate that a wee bit. And what I'm trying to do is I don't want that used on play parks and places where children are going to be. So maybe use the alternative methods as long as they're safer. That's what I'm trying to say, I think.
Jared, all right, you have this. We shouldn't be using them in play parks, and we shouldn't be using cabinets in regards to the picnic areas. And they were successful people are eating and stuff, you know, so I think we have to take that on board. And I think we should look at the alternative trap in them areas. That's where we're going to be testing, in them areas. I think, yeah, look at a 3-year target, look towards the 3-year, review it every year, and then 3 years, see how we're progressing. As I said, with the rewilding and all that, and tree strategy in regards to the wild forest, we will make progress. And everybody's passionate about this. There's nobody who wants to go putting people in this, you know, and I have to say that. And I find it very annoying that people are trying to say that we're doing that. And we're certainly not doing it. We've all family members. You know, we use parks ourselves. I do in a park every day, you know, and I'm not arguing with it myself. But what we do need to do is, when people talk about, oh, I'm against this, we should ban it totally, immediately. Nobody has said that they're going to get the resources to pay for that. Nobody said what the alternatives are. When they do the job and when the complaints come from the residents, I get a lot of complaints about weeds on a regular basis in the states and stuff. And nothing to do with it. And TFI are continuing to use it. And then other starchy body systems using it. Obviously, it's in the forest parks, and it's still been used. You know, so that's the also reality too, in regards to this. And the private sector companies use it, moving out there, and I'm sure farmers use it on a regular basis. So you can see the inways are always done with it. And if somebody can tell me it's a different product they're using, because I don't think it is, it'd be interesting what the Ulster Farmers Union said in regards to the usage of it in the airways and stuff like that. I think we should, part of the amendment also is we need to act on it. We need to say to them, that's not us to ban the product. You know, they need to use Zappi and people like that to look at trials as well and hear. So I think we should write the Ralph Storm amendments, probably the airmen's, stating what we're trying to achieve. And if they are any guidance in regards to this government, I think the responsibility lies with the central government and moving this forward and giving council's assistance and understand the different statutory body. It's not a council decision that we can ban it from our own.
Sorry, I know I kind of went off track to having some discussion about that, but I think that it being such an important issue, I think it was important. It's important to take a sort of discussion approach on this, you know. So, but yeah, we'll try and sort of wrap it up a wee bit, but yeah,
the point has been made. So, if we're going to eliminate the lack of play parks, which General Secretary said as a priority, I don't think that won't work for our officers and have the benefit of the council, because there's that many multi-agency looking after. You know, I could show you three different housing developments where children play all the time and there's three different agencies looking after. So if we're to take an example, our council's not going to use, we're going to go to the expense of training up somebody to use something different and all of that. So a housing executive or somebody has to come in behind them and spray whatever they want, you know what I mean? But I think what is proposed, right, where I would agree with that, you know, if we do write to central government, South Assembly, now that we have our environment minister in place, and try and at least explain to him what we're trying to do. But we ought to be realistic. I mean, there's nothing in the race. Nothing in the race for this. And that's why I would have suggested a review, even if it's before 5 months' time, that we can look at this and introduce it gradually. But and I do, we should probably be aiming for it to be eliminated in 2 years, but we have to be realistic about trying to bring other people along with us as well. So, you know.
Yes, and possibly those same letters sent to DFI, literacy and jail, all of those, because they're over 2 years in the area. But I think that there's enough in that there that we are now talking about maybe one amendment.
Yeah. Are you still on the stocks, you might come?
No,
sorry. We'll bring Ron down here and you can try and put it together for us.
Okay, so at this point, the committee are agreeing to the recommendations within the officer's report with amendment. I just want to clarify with the officers as well. We've stated a 200% reduction there, and that recommendation is a 25% reduction. Is that correct?
Just to clarify, the 25% reduction was actually an anticipated further reduction on the reductions we've already made. It's not easy to simplify in that simple percentage. We've actually started this from, I started here in July, reducing Roundup. We've trialled various methods, CDAs, stem injectors, so we're trying all the industry best practices. And we would have the figure is much, much higher, a reduced amount from what we would have been using in 2018 to late 2019, and we'll hope for further 25 productions, even with this sustainable method in the 2020.
Okay. So, just to clarify, we are proceeding with the recommendations in the officer's report with a 25% reduction currently, with amended, which is that we undertake a 12-month review with a target to fail it completely within 3 years, that officers prevent the use in play parks and use alternative methods only in these areas, and that we write to the Stormont Minister stating the Council's position and seek their position for all Northern Ireland government bodies.
So,
do
we have a proposal and a seconder? Oh, sorry, do you have a comment? Your proposal, Willie Clark.
Subject, and I'd like to thank you, Christian McCabin, who all have worked together as a team. We've worked out the message that we do care about our people, irrespective of what people may think. And as I say, the people elect us, and we're there to do our best for people that we represent.
Thank you,
Pastor
Andrew.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, so item 10, quick update, state policy and operational license compliance. So we've got to pass over to Roland.
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of the paper today is to seek your approval for our state policy. This is an updated state policy from what we previously agreed to in 2018. This will ensure that we address matters that were previously reported through the Audit Committee to ensure compliance with the TRU recommendations and operator license legislation, and that further report will keep back to the Neighbourhood Services Committee to give an update on audit recommendations. So we're seeking your approval for the state policy that is attached to the appendix.
Okay, can I have a
proposed
and seconder?
Okay.
Chairman, seconder?
Yes.
Yes, really sorry. So on to item 11 then, visit to waste facility.
Thank you, Chair. We were previously asked to arrange visits to Regen and also to the end of our waste energy plant in the lake. I can confirm that we've arranged the visit to Regen for next month. We have timed it at 3 o'clock on the day of the committee. Regen in the Cambrian Industrial Estate, and we'll send invitations out to the committee if members are content with that. And we will revert when we have a date for the visit to Indira, which we don't have back yet. So it's going to be in from the member of the board.
Okay,
close
down, Harold. And then final item then, for noting to historic action.
Well, it's just a proposal and a second, of course, yeah.
Right,
okay.
So we're going to go through this page for you. So, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, and page 12. So can I have a proposal and second?
That is it. Thank you very much.
Building and Toll Department look after the car parks which are transferred across from road service at the time of RPA. So that they manage those car parks, but the council does have other car parks, so for instance they have car parks at leisure centres. Those are managed by the leisure centre management. It has car parks at community centres. Those are managed by the community engagement team that we have. So it depends on where the car park is. The car park here at the council offices, it's ourselves and neighbourhood service that manage that.
Just, you know,
there's
an issue somewhere down Patrick, I can't find the car park,
but just
a guy
there's
there for the
PSA.
I don't know
where he went,
but he's
looking
nice.
And
he's an
engineer,
the park is somewhere
where
Red
Hook
can come in.
That'll be both service then, that'll be building toll and licensing, well, I'm licensing.
I can get the car park manager to get in contact with you tomorrow if you're crazy.
The issue is,
it's
great to be simple, but Red Coat's not one, and he's sure to pick everything to our city. You see, the lines, the white lines up, it's not an issue.
It's not here.
It's not our political, so. No. We don't have any. We can get this issue captured and get someone to get in contact.